Hello, Fightful Faithful, and welcome to another episode of Sour Graps. I'm your host, Alex Pulowski, and everything sucks. Again, yes, the illustrious streak of good SmackDown episodes is over after 1 week. So, I guess we have that to look forward to. Listen, they're building to some things, I hope. But last night was just a throwaway episode. It didn't matter. Didn't really matter. Here's the definition of it not mattering. Nikki Cross gets another shot at Bayley's title. What the fuck? What are we even doing? Like existentially, as a whole, most of the country I live in right now is on fire. Like, literally on fire. What are we even doing? Like, the whole goddamn planet is just gonna combust any second now. So, what does it matter, really? So, you know, I mean, I had a terrible bout of insomnia last night. And I tried to take a nap today. Does insomnia extend to like the middle of the day when you're just trying to get a nap to like get your brain functioning again? Because if so, like that's me. That's the thing for me. So I'm going to really try hard to get this thing done quick and not be a 90-minute episode so I can go to bed. Because I don't really have the energy to be angry about SmackDown going from a good episode to like meh again, and it's like, what are we supposed to do with this? Because as I said, the country's on fire. I'm gonna swig the last of this little bottle of lemonade. Lemonade is the official beverage of Sour Graps. It gives me that sour power. Yeah, here we go. Ooh, yeah, I needed that. That gives me a little jolt of sour energy to get through this frigging show. Okay. So, we go right to Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns coming down to the ring. This is something I know that they do. It's just, you've only got 2 hours on SmackDown, not the three of Raw. The first 3 minutes and 45 seconds of the episode was a recap of shit that happened last week and at Payback. Like, can't we just fucking get to it? I mean, like, you don't have to make the recap 3 minutes long. You can make it a minute and we'd get it. For everybody who missed last week's episode, I understand you want to catch him up, but you don't need 3 minutes of it. So we get to the ring. Heyman, Now it's like just Heyman just recapping the shit that's gone on between them. Heyman introduces Jey Uso. Jey comes out, and Jey, I like this. I like this. This is good. Jey says that he has love for Heyman because Heyman's history with his family, because Paul Heyman was a manager for the Head Shrinkers, which is a nickname you could not get away with now. Samoan tag team that featured Fatu, who would later go on to become Rikishi, who is Jay's dad and Roman's uncle. So Heyman has a history with the family, and I like that that's being brought to the foreground. That's always good to give a full history of what's going on. And he says, I want to thank you for getting me into that match. And Paul Heyman's like, I don't want to interrupt you or anything, but I didn't have anything to do with that. Now, your cousin here, that issued me a directive as his special counsel, and I made it happen. But it was not my idea. No, Roman wants this. And Roman says, you don't have to thank me for anything. We're blood. We know about this for years. I do love that he's like, you know, this is just going to be like, you deserve this. The whole family is so proud of you. You deserve this. Don't get it twisted, though. You're going to lose to me at Clash of Champions? Night of Champions. Clyde of Champions? Nash of Champions. You're going to lose to me at Nash of Champions because it's going to be like what we were when we were kids, where I whoop your ass all the time. I looked it up because for some reason, I don't know, maybe it's the gray in Jay's beard. I really wanted Jay to be like 7 years older than Roman. I don't know why. I mean, I know that's not possible considering they started around the same time, but I wanted this narrative Roman to be peddling for it to be complete bullshit. That he didn't kick Jay's ass because Jay was always bigger than him until Roman became an adult. But no, they're on the same age, like 3 months apart. I forget which one's older, but it doesn't really matter. We're on the same age. So maybe, yes, maybe Roman did kick Jay's ass all over the place when they were kids. I don't know. But after I kick your ass, it's all going to be love. It's good. Don't worry about it. The title has to stay on me to feed all of our families because that's the most important thing. All right, fine. Then King Corbin comes out, and thank God he's wearing a suit. He's trying to be presentable as king and not this fucking fur cloak. Hey, by the way, it is now September. I haven't heard anything about a new King of the Ring this year. King of the Ring last year was September. Corbin has been King Corbin and not Baron Corbin for 11 and a half months. And I think it's time to give it up. I think it's time just to be done with it. It's silly. It's always been silly. Like the Macho King stuff was silly. I mean, Macho made it work because he was fucking Macho Man, but it's always silly. When you make a dude... I won King of the Ring. Now I gotta wear robes and a silly crown. Like, that's fucking stupid. King of the Ring isn't an actual, like, honorific. You don't actually get land, you know? There's no gentry that serve you. You don't get prima nocta. It's just a title. It means you won a tournament. Good for you, Baron. But you're not an actual king of anything, you know? Anyway, he comes out, and he is like, blah, blah, blah. This is all set up. Roman got a hand-picked opponent for his first title events. It's nepotism. It makes me sick. And it's also, nothing makes me sicker to see somebody abuse their power. Get it? Ha, because he's the king. He's an evil king. And then out comes Sheamus. They're doing this thing with Sheamus, and I appreciate it. And I honestly wish they would do this more. But because they're only doing it with Sheamus, it feels weird. Sheamus has one outfit for when he's not wrestling and another outfit for when he's wrestling. Do they not have Sheamus shirts anymore? I mean, don't get me wrong, they fucking shouldn't. But if they don't have shirts for Sheamus, it's weird because I thought that was like a thing. Like, you have to wear your branded t-shirt to the ring if you're not wrestling at the time. But he comes out in his little wife beater and his like fur-lined coat and his hat all askew and his knuckles all taped. Like, he doesn't wrestle with his knuckles taped, does he? He wrestles with, like, you know, gauntlets, like arm, like wrist tape, like really high wrist tape. Not with, so it's, he tapes up his hands to go out and give a monologue on a microphone. But then he takes the tape off before he goes and fights people. That seems counterintuitive, right? Or maybe does he? He never used to wrestle with taped hands. Maybe he does now that he's doing the whole Mickey from Snatch gimmick. That thing is becoming more and more apparent every time I see him. But he comes out and he goes Periwinkle Blue, and that's his entire monologue. Periwinkle Blue. That's only a funny joke if you've seen Snatch, and that movie is now 20 years old. So there are a lot of you out there watching, who were like, what, in grammar school when that came out, if not younger. There are those of you out there who are watching or listening to the show who were not born yet when that movie came out. And I just got really depressed. I don't have any lemonade left to perk me up because of how depressed that makes me. But anyway, the character he is aping, Mickey, from Snatch, as played by Brad Pitt, very famously said, "Perica Blue!" So that's the joke. His entire monologue consists of him saying, "Perica Blue!" And that's it. That's the joke. It's not funny. Don't worry about it. If you haven't seen the movie, you don't need to. Actually, it's a good movie. You should see it. Anyway, Seamus, he takes Tip down. And when I showed Biggie where his car was parked, I said, "It's Perry with the blue car." And I beat him up. Jay says, "How about we have a tag team match tonight?" He gestures to himself and Roman, and he says, "Blood." And then he gestures to them, to Corbin and Sheamus, and says, "Versus butt mud." Butt mud, which I believe is poop. Excrement. Human waste, I believe is what he was comparing Sheamus and Corbin to. And let's be honest, he ain't lying. By the way, I thought it was really funny. This is, again, not all of SmackDown is bad. Just most of SmackDown is bad. And this part I really liked. Sheamus charges at Jey Uso, who, like, dodges and tosses him over the top rope. And Corbin tries to attack, but Jey kicks him with a super kick, sends him in the ring post. Roman doesn't move. He's just standing there with the title on his shoulder, doesn't move, watches with a smirk on his face. I don't need to do anything. I show up and I win. I wreck everyone and leave. That's his thing. That's what he does. Apparently we're going to have AJ versus Jeff Hardy in rematch for the Intercontinental title, but in the truck, Sami Zayn is very upset because it can't be for the Intercontinental title because neither one of them is the Intercontinental champion. "I'm Intercontinental champion. Make this go away. Delete this. Delete this," he says. So he makes the horrible crime of sending the show to a scheduled commercial break. Ha ha. Jeff Hardy comes out. Jeff Hardy is obligatory 9/11 reference. Never forget. Let us never forget 9/11, an insidious terrorist attack on American soil. And also, let us never forget the war we went to over that against a country that had nothing to do with that, in which hundreds of thousands of people were killed. Also, let's never forget that. Just while we're never forgetting things, let's never forget both things. Let's remember them equally. Great. But Jeff Hardy is commemorating the lack of forgetting by wearing a American flag paint on his face. So good for you, Jeff. See, if you hadn't painted your face red, white, and blue with stars and stripes, we would have thought you hated America. But you got one over on us because you proved you don't hate America because you wore a flag on your face. Good for you. So it's Hardy versus Styles. They're gonna do the match, but Sammy comes out to interrupt. He's carrying his Intercontinental title belt. He reiterates, won the title, defended it against Daniel Bryan, took some time off, which was my business, and they crowned a sham champion in his place. Then Adam Pearce comes out. Sammy's like, "Oh, good, you can stop this." Like, "No, I'm stopping anything. I'm stopping you. Get the hell backstage." And so people show up and try to make him leave, and finally he does. The match starts with AJ missing a splash in the corner, a twist of fate from Hardy, and a missed Swanton commercial. You guys could do better than that, right? With the commercial stuff. Figure out a better way of setting that up. The match comes back. We have a match. It doesn't matter what happened. Doesn't matter what happened because Sami Zayn runs in eventually and breaks the whole thing up. He comes in from the opposite direction and he grabs AJ and who's on the floor, and he tosses him into the ring steps. And so AJ wins by DQ, but that doesn't fucking matter. The match doesn't happen. Sammy hits Jeff Hardy with a Huluva kick. Fans boo. And don't get me wrong, I'm sure several of the fans at home are booing because they're being told to by a producer in their ear. So that's genuine. But if it were me, I'd be cheering the hell out of it because Sami Zayn is my Intercontinental Champion. He is probably my WWE champion and my Universal champion. Sami Zayn is the last good man who works for this fucking company. No, him and Mustafa Ali, but he's not on TV, so he can't be anybody's champion. So, okay, Jeff Hardy gets to his feet and he's trying to walk up the ramp, but he just collapses. We go to commercial, we come back, and Jeff Hardy's suffering from dehydration. Maybe there was poison in his patriotic face paint. Well, that would be poetic. Poisoned by patriotism. AJ Styles, don't get me wrong, it's fine to love your country. It's just don't do it disingenuously and only when you're supposed to. Do it all the time, or don't do it ever. Or just be true to when you love your country and when you don't. Not because this is a day that is set aside for me to love my country. So I shall. That's bullshit. Yeah. Anyway, AJ rants about Hardy being champion. He hates Sami Zayn too. So probably going to get AJ versus Sammy versus Jeff Hardy, just as I said. At Clash of Champions. Night of Champions? Clyde of Champions. Nash of Champions. We're going to get a triple threat at Nash of Champions. So, the brand-to-brand invitational. When they brought this up to begin with, they said, this is months ago now, every superstar can go to the opposing brand, can be invited by the opposing brand 4 times a year. And a whole bunch of people like did 3 out of the 4 within like the first 2 weeks. Like, Charlotte was fucking everywhere unnecessarily for the entire brand-to-brand invitational time period before Vince forgot about it. Now it's back, but Michael Cole says, now you can do it once a quarter, which is still 4 times a year, but spaced out. So I appreciate that. However, it appears to me that there's a loophole in here, because Cesaro and Shinsuke appeared on Raw last week. I guess Raw must have invited them to appear, which is weird because that's kind of out of the blue and doesn't make a lot of sense. But they're also going to be on Raw next week for the match that they challenged the Street Profits to, which seems like they're going to be on Raw twice in the same quarter, which just, that's not what you said, Michael Cole. Be consistent. That's all I say. Anyway, the Street Profits invade Cesaro and Shinsuke's, what do they call it? Champions Lounge. And they say a lot of their heavily produced and obviously scripted by somebody else. Street Profits jokes. God, these guys were so much better when they were in NXT, when they were writing their own stuff. God, it was so much better. Anyway. Cesaro and Nakamura have a match next against a non-title match versus Kalisto and Grand Metalik of the Lucha House Party. So they have to go and do that. So Prophet say, well, hey, well, we're going to hang out here in the Champions Lounge. So Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro have their match versus Lucha House Party. It so Kalisto and Grand Metalik, Kalisto says he's like, I'm as leader of Lucha House Party, and Lince Dorado and Grand Metalik are like, who are you talking about? What? And he tries to do his old Lucha Dragons chant, you know, like Lucha, Lucha, which just never caught on. And back to the trainer's room, Jeff Hardy's being looked at. Sami Zayn comes in and they start to brawl in the trainer's room. Somebody get that man some fluids. It's a tag match. I don't know, guys. I'm tired. What do you want from me? It's a SmackDown TV tag match. Metalik looks good. He always looks good. Kalisto has abs now. That's great. Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura are two of the most talented wrestlers to have ever lived. Shinsuke stopped doing anything good a while ago. Cesaro still does great things, but they never push him. Not really. There, I just told you who these people are. They have a match. That's what happened. But none of it fucking matters. Because at the beginning, this is why SmackDown sucks again. The first match of the night doesn't fucking matter because there was an interference, and so the match never actually happened. Not really. I know one guy won by DQ, but that doesn't fucking matter. That doesn't fucking matter. So the match doesn't matter because nothing. There was no actual winner or loser. Nothing happened. The first match never took place. This match did, but only technically. The match happened, but it was a non-title match. In my book, if you are the champion, you should never be allowed to wrestle non-title matches. Figure it out. Don't book yourself into corners. Figure out a way to build a title feud that does not involve the next challengers pinning the champions in three straight non-title matches in order to earn a title match that the challengers will then lose. Figure out a way to do it other than that way. There are other ways, I promise you. There are other ways. Anyway, this is a non-title match. It's a tag team non-title match. It ends because the Street Profits show up on the big screen and distract Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro because the Street Profits are throwing a house party in the Champions Lounge with all the all people dancing up and down, doing everything, and Cesaro and Shinsuke don't like that. No, their Champions Lounge is exclusive only to them. Nobody else is allowed in the Champions Lounge, and they're so upset by this that Cesaro gets rolled up by Kalisto. Somehow, somebody who's not even involved in the match, distracting the champion long enough that the champion gets rolled up for a three count, is going to somehow, eventually, lead to the team that benefited from the distraction getting a title match that they did not earn. Because if this other team did not distract the champion, then the challenger wouldn't have gotten the roll up. Like, it's fucking stupid. It's fucking stupid. So, Bayley's, I don't know if you can turn heel when you're already heel. But she went from being, like, funny and like, how do you say it? Endearingly annoying to being a psychotic when she attacked Sasha Banks after they lost the match last week. And I praised Bayley up and down because I thought the turn was so brutal and so well done. And I thought that she handled that so well. And that I really thought that I did not believe that you could turn Bayley heel. And she did it. She did it so well. She's had so many different versions of her heel self. And I gave her nothing but praise last week. The promo last night was terrible. It was terrible. It was not well written, and she delivered it poorly. I don't get like the you gotta if you're gonna do this as the reason why a tag team breaks up, a heel tag team breaks up, thereby forcing one of them to turn babyface. Give us some reasons. Give us some build to it. Where, let's say the heel tag team is beating up their opponents, and one of them is gonna, I don't know, crush their opponent backstage, crush their head with a cinder block, and the attack team be like, hey, whoa, no, we made our point. We made our point. It's good. Let's go. You know, that shows they're not willing to commit murder and therefore more of a baby face than their tag partner. You know what I mean? And we get that. Don't just show Sasha Banks slyly looking at Bayley's title belt, because at that time, that's the wrong thing for her to do. They're best friends. Bayley's the champion. Sasha's like, I want some of that. Well, how does that make Sasha the good one? You know, figure out a way to make Sasha the good one incrementally, so that the only reason Sasha is a babyface now is because Bayley beat her up. That's lazy. That's fucking bad. Don't do that. Don't do that. This has been a segment on my show I like to call "Don't Do That." You could figure out a way of making that work where it's not like, well, because Bayley went crazy and beat up Sasha, Sasha's a good guy now. I guess. Like, better than Bayley? Sure. But Sasha did some bad stuff. A lot of bad stuff recently. So it's a weird thing. Like, you could make it work. If given the choice, yes, I'm rooting for Sasha. Make me need Sasha to win. As opposed to like, yeah, sure, Sasha over Bayley. That's a lot better. Needing one of them to win. I don't know. Also, preemptive stuff. I turned on you because I knew you were going to turn on me. I mean, yeah, it makes you look like you're paranoid and narcissistic, which, you know, Bayley probably is, but it's just so played out. It's all the time that I turned on you before you could turn on me. Bayley and Sasha had been having problems, right? This is how I would have changed slightly last week. Bayley and Sasha have been having problems. Like, Sasha losing to Asuka, because I would have made it so that Bayley's interference in the match directly cost Sasha, which it did not. It indirectly cost Sasha the match, and so Asuka got her title back. I would have made it so Bayley made a bad decision or was late in trying to help something or whatever. And so Sasha can be pissed at Bayley. And Bayley be like, no, listen, I'm sorry. This is my bad. So you can actually show them making mistakes, getting angry at each other, one of them making it up to the other one, maybe not as well as they would have liked, all that kind of stuff. Nuance. You know, all it takes is little things here and there to tweak some stuff to make it more of a real story. So that Bailey and Sasha having a falling out even earlier that night, before Sasha and before the match versus Shayna and Nia, like they could be having an interview, and one of them, like Sasha, could mention, "Well, I was the one who tapped out." Like Bailey's like, "Excuse me, no. Listen, I tapped out. On I guess I'm sorry about that. I tapped out because it was your arm being pulled against my throat. How did that happen, Sasha?" Listen, I'm not blaming you, but it sure sounds like you're blaming me. And if you want to blame me, then I can sort some blame right back at you. What were you doing in that moment? How are you helping? Gee, I'm really sorry I tapped out. I had my airway was being crushed with your arm, bitch. You could do that and then have them make up, kind of. And then, listen, we have to put that all aside, okay? We have a tag team rematch, and I know if we focus and do what we can, there are no two women better out there than us when we work together. You're right. You're right. Let's go out there and win. So they just had a falling out. They were just angry at each other, but they made up because they know if they work together right, they can get their stuff back. Then you have them in the match, and they don't work together right. Whatever it is, however that happens. I think you should definitely have that point where Sasha is hurt, her knee is hurt, and they lose the match because of that. You can have them be pinned in the same way with a double cross body, whatever. And I loved Bailey saying to the AMTs after they were pushed away by Sasha, "It's okay. No, it's okay. I got her. It's okay." So instead of Bailey gingerly helping Sasha almost out of the ring and then out of nowhere kicking her to start the beatdown, have the EMTs go away and Bailey hang back a little bit. Have her walk up to Sasha and have Sasha, and like, "Do you want some help? Do you want to stand up? You okay?" And have Sasha stand up on her own power. But she tries to limp toward the ropes and she goes down. And Bailey doesn't know what to do. So she walks over. She picks her up. And Bailey looks at her. Sasha looks at her and shoves her away. Right? And Bailey, who was trying to be the good friend and trying to be the bigger woman, trying to be Sasha's best friend, Sasha, in the moment, pissed about getting hurt, pissed about losing their rematch, shoves Bailey, and that's the impetus for Bailey to lose her fucking mind. "You want to shove me? Fine." Kicks her bad leg out from under her and goes to town. And she can almost stop herself multiple times. And then she realizes, "No, if I let her live, she'll get back at me. So I have to finish this now." But at least you'd have both of them being responsible for this. No, like Sasha, like, "Oh, I'm really hurt. Oh, now I'm so sympathetic. Oh, and Bailey attacked me for no reason. Now I'm a babyface." I mean, I guess. So Bailey coming out and saying, you were going to turn on me before I turned on you. You were using me, so I was using you. It was just very simple, nonsensical rantings as opposed to having your heel with a point. "I was trying to be your friend, Sasha. I've always tried to be your friend." That's weird how that is. Remember the Elimination Chamber a couple years ago where I was trying to help, we were trying to help each other, and then you kicked me off the pod like Scar and Mufasa? What the hell was that? I've always tried to be your friend, Sasha. Always. But not anymore. I'm done being your friend. Like, that's a hell of a lot better than, like, you were going to turn on me, so I turned on you. You were using me, so that's why I was using you. I mean, okay. Like, but it's so fucking generic, though. Couldn't it be specific? Specific, always better than generic. Always. But then, of course, I think even Bailey thought it was bullshit, because she was like, You were so jealous of me that I had the two belts. You wanted to be two belts Banks. You wanted to be two belts Banks. That's right. Well, that's because I was two belts Banks. Two belts Bailey. Bailey Dose Straps. Like, she forgot her fucking own nickname, and she put Sasha's name in there for her. Like, I wanted more. We finally got Bailey turning on Sasha, and it was all because of the generic, I turned on you before you could turn on me. That is what makes me smarter and the bad guy now. It's just so fucking generic. For one of the, what has the potential to be an all-time great women's feud, to have it be just about, like, you were using me and that's why I used you. But I could sense it. I knew you were going to turn on me, so that's why I turned on you first. It's so fucking generic. You could use all of their history, all of it, to build to this moment where Bailey snaps because she's always trying to be the good friend. And Sasha, because Sasha is always going to be the selfish one. There are people in your life who you consider friends who are more selfish than your other friends. Doesn't mean that selfish person isn't still your friend, but you know that, like, in a time of crisis, you really can't depend on that person to, like, have your best interests at heart over theirs. But that's just who they are. Like, it's not a huge, giant, you know, overreaching character flaw. It's just like, this is who this person is. They're more concerned about themselves than others. A lot of people out there like that. If you approach Sasha as that, and Bailey is the opposite of that, who just gets tired of being used and hurt because she's always the friend who looks out for all of her other friends, and sometimes to her own detriment. And this time, the littlest thing, like Sasha shoving her away when Bailey was trying to be nice, that is what caused Bailey to try to murder Sasha. Like, if you go back long enough, on a long enough timeline, Bailey has all the receipts that she needs to justify why she wrapped that chair around Sasha's neck and tried to kill her. At least in Bailey's mind, she does. But instead, it's like, you are going to turn on me, so I turned on you first. That's the best you guys can come up with? That's weak. That's some weak shit. Speaking of weak shit, there's a four-way match. To determine Bailey's challenger for the SmackDown Women's title at Nash of Champions. And the four women in this match are Nikki Cross, who I swear has had a dozen title matches versus Bailey. Maybe not title matches, but at least matches. If you include tag matches where Nikki and Alexa were feuding with Bailey and Sasha, if you include tag matches, I have to believe that Nikki has faced Bailey 15 times since March. I don't need to see it ever again. So Nikki's in the match, and Lacey Evans is in the match, but Lacey's heel now, so she can't win the match, thank God. And Alexa Bliss, who's, you know, definitely doing a Harley Quinn thing. It's not Naomi. Naomi, who reports said that she was due for a big push. She had the thing with Lacey that ended with her winning the last match they had. So she won the feud, I guess. And there was all that fan buzz supporting her and everything. Izumi Yumi deserves better. And she also, in that weird beat the clock match, she pinned Bayley pretty quick. Why doesn't Naomi just get a title match? She's the most recent woman to pin Bayley. Just give her the title match. That could be it. You could just do it that way. But she should at least be in this Fatal 4-Way match. You can't give me a kayfabe reason why she's not in this title match. She's a former 2-time champion who recently pinned the current champion. Why would she not be in this title match? This number one contenders match. Doesn't make any fucking sense. So they introduce Nikki right after Bayley has her monologue, and Nikki's walking out of the ring, and Bayley attacks her with the chair. By the way, Bayley now is carrying the chair that she used to assault Sasha last week. So Bayley's carrying that around like a sometime trophy. But she hits Nikki with it, and then Alexa runs down to check on Nikki, and we go to break. And we come back from break, and they're finishing up the introduction, the music, the entrance of Lacey Evans. And then we get a ding, ding, ding. And the match starts. And there are 4 men in the match, and one of whom we did not see enter. We did not hear music for. So Michael Cole actually has to say, there you see Nikki Cross, Alexa Bliss. Alexa Cross was attacked by Bayley before the match. Lacey Evans. Tamina also in this match. Like, when you're throwing out a Tamina also in this match, when you're throwing out an also in this match in a 4-way match where there are 4 people in it and 3 of them got TV entrances and 1 of them didn't, why is that person in the match? Like, Tamina also in this match should be just like what they say before every match Tamina is in. Like, and in this corner, feel the glow, it's Naomi! Tamina also in this match. Ding, ding, ding. Tamina also in this match. Tamina should change her name to Tamina also in this match. It'd be better than Tamina Snuka. Just saying. You wouldn't have that connotation with your last name there. You know, the murder that was covered up. Tamina also in this match is a pretty good name, actually. So the big drama from this match is that at one point, Alexa and Nikki are on the outside, and Alexa, out of nowhere, does a Sister Abigail, complete with the kiss to the forehead, to Nikki on the outside. And then they go to commercial, and they come back from commercial, and they show us, why would they would do this during the commercial and not while it's being aired on TV? I don't fucking know. Alexa does the Sister Abigail to Nikki Cross, and then apparently, like, went into some kind of trance and just walked backstage. Like, she just left the ring area. She didn't want to be a part of the match anymore. Well, that's interesting. How about you show us that, as opposed to, like, also during the commercial, this thing happened. Here's a 4-second clip of it. Really? So, another thing made me go, really? Nikki Cross wins this thing. They did this weird thing where, like, if Tamina is healthy and wrestling, she's the fucking Terminator, but she can't win matches. Like, she takes a women's right and doesn't go down. Like, the women's right is fucking protected as hell. You know what I mean? Like, people don't kick out of that shit. The women's right, this fucking stupid right-hand punch they gave to Lacey Evans, who isn't a fighter. It'd be pretty cool if they gave it to, like, a MMA girl or something, but whatever. It's a fucking protected move. She hits it full-on on Tamina. Tamina, like, goes down to one knee and then staggers around for a bit. Doesn't actually go down. But I guess it's part of that is why she was able to be susceptible to Nikki Cross's roll-up or whatever. So anyway, Nikki Cross rolled up Tamina. Yeah, Nikki did her like neck breaker on the ropes to Lacey. But Nikki Cross won. She's gonna face Bayley again. I mean, I hope not. I hope Alexa Bliss like takes her out in the next couple of weeks. We don't need to see Nikki Cross versus Bayley. That's a waste of a match. Nikki Cross isn't going to become champion. Like, that's no. No, that's fucking stupid. Tamina, also in this match. So, yeah, remember how last week I was right, as proven right again, that Otis started carrying around the contract in a lunchbox, a Money in the Bank lunchbox, and then we only figured that out because John Morrison stole the briefcase because he thought they had the contract in it, and but it wasn't. So this week, there's a singles match, Otis versus John Morrison, and that just saying that hurts my heart, man. John Morrison is one of the most talented in-ring competitors in the world right now. Otis is a fat guy who does comedy bits. I mean, he could be more than that. He's presented as a fat guy who does comedy bits. That's it. That's all he's presented as. So the idea that, like, I also, listen, to be fair, they present John Morrison as an arrogant doofus, which he was an arrogant doofus in Lucha Underground, but they still let him be fucking fire in the ring as opposed to getting literally squished. By Otis. So Otis came out for the singles match carrying the lunchbox and the briefcase, and he puts them down at ringside. At one point, Miz takes the lunchbox and runs away. Otis is the caterpillar on Morrison. Who really deserves better than this shit? And then he does his Vader bomb thing to him. And Michael Cole thought he was so funny. Thought he was so clever. Because you know how Corey calls John Morrison Johnny Drip Drip. Well, he made the mistake of saying that right before the finishing sequence. So Michael Cole got to be clever by saying, Johnny Drip Drip about to become Johnny Drop Drop. What the fuck does that mean? Like, you could use a different thing. Like, Johnny Squish Squish, because that's what's going to happen to him when Otis hits the caterpillar. I don't know. Like, Johnny Drop Drop. Johnny Poop Poop. I mean, you're just picking out words, Michael Cole. Oh, hey, by the way, we're doing more of this this thing with the sexy lady who's walking around backstage. This time we see she's a blonde, and she's definitely not Vanessa Bourne. I thought it was going to be Vanessa Bourne. I'm glad it's not Vanessa Bourne. Vanessa Bourne sucks. It's one of those weird call-ups you hear about from NXT. We're like, what? Why? Why? Why would you do that? So she's blonde and doesn't have the same body type as Vanessa Bourne. There's some speculation it's going to be Carmella, but I mean, I don't know. She likes furs. She likes furs. Whatever. Here, I guess we'll see. So after the match, Heavy Machinery's backstage, right? This fucking company, I swear to God. So Tucker's really upset because he wants to go find the Miz because the Miz stole the lunchbox. And Otis is like, Tucky, calm down. He might have gotten a lunchbox, but his whole point is he's supposed to be able to easily open the Money in the Bank briefcase, and in the briefcase has another lunchbox. And in that lunchbox is the Money in the Bank contract. But Otis's fat fumble fingers can't open the briefcase properly. Then, once he finally gets the lunchbox out, the lunchbox is already open. And the contract is floated out and is in the briefcase. So he pulls it out. It's like, hey, I got the contract where you got a different lunchbox. Bah, 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 bah. Anyway, Miz opens the lunchbox. And it's just an Apple core. So Miz takes out his phone. He's calling it a favor. Miz has said that he talked to a lawyer. The contract is non-transferable, but there's always a loophole. If we got our hands in the contract, we can find the loopholes in the contract, and that's how we'll get it. Here's the loophole in the contract. They showed Otis holding up the prop Money in the Bank contract in a show for like Instagram or whatever, right? Or on Facebook. It's a photo of him holding up the contract. Oh, by the way, he took a bite out of it. This fucking oaf. This giant cow ate part of the, he took a bite out of the contract. Like he put it in his mouth and he's like, nom, nom, nom. Control yourself, Otis. Anyway, they showed the contract. It's the same one because there's a bite mark in it. And if you, somebody did this sleuthing, not me, somebody did it. I retweeted it. If you zoom in, it is a prop contract, Money in the Bank contract. From 2015, there's a PDF of it floating around the thing where you can put in the names of people, right? You can write in the name of whatever, but the date is static. They put the date in the body of the contract. You can't write in a new date. So it's like this contract bestowed on 6/24/15 will become null and void after 6/24/16 or whatever it is. It's his contract expired 4 years ago, and it is for the WWE Championship, not the Universal Championship. It's just the incompetence of the prop department giving him a prop that has wrong dates on it, and then the incompetence of the PR people putting out a photo of him holding the wrong prop, the people who took the photo, the incompetence would be staggering if it wasn't so fucking ubiquitous. It is everywhere in this company. Jesus. So Bray Wyatt has promised a new friend in the Firefly Funhouse. He was gonna find Pasquale the parrot, who's supposed to be in the box, but he opens a box and Pasquale doesn't come out. And he's, come on, Pasquale, come out, come and tell everybody a joke or whatever. And he's Pasquale the persevering parrot, because he was like, okay, everyone, loss happens to everybody, and how you handle loss shows a lot about your character. And that's really good advice, but they present it as being funny, you know? Like, how lame that he's talking about how you handle loss. Losses are for pussies! Is basically what it looks like that they're trying to say. Anyway, the parrot is dead. It's a dead parrot! If you got that joke, you're way older than the people who've seen Snatch. He's bleeding dead. It's a dead parrot. That's an old. I'm not even going to explain that joke. That is an old joke. That predates me by like 10 years. That's how old that is. It's dead. But yeah, no, the parrots, the parrot apparently is dead. So, oh no. But Mr. McMahon puppet comes out and he says, what in the my home is going on? Get it? Because he's from hell. You lost the title and you lost control of the funhouse. Now I'm going to fire you if you don't keep this funhouse together. But now there's a new special advisor for the funhouse. and it's a thinly veiled Paul Heyman puppet called Wobbly Walrus. And Walrus, like, you know how, like, they do funny voices for all the parrots. You know, Huskus is German, and Mercy the Buzzard's got kind of a little southern twang to him. And then they bring in Hell Demon Devil McMahon puppet. He actually says in this match, "That's such good shit." And he really, like, trying to sound a little bit more like, you know, gravelly, like old McMahon and whatever. But they actually have Wobbly Walrus talk, but when Wobbly Walrus talks, they have to put up subtitles, which they don't do for anybody else, because Wobbly Walrus sounds like this. So I think they should fix that, because there's no way you can understand him. Is that supposed to be the joke? The Wobbly Walrus, who's obviously supposed to be Paul Heyman because of the suit, and he's bald on top but got hair around the sides. Is the joke that he's going to talk a lot, but we don't really understand him? Kind of like Paul Heyman? I mean, you can understand Paul, but you know what I mean? Like, sometimes his soliloquies get a little deep. Anyway. So now there's a Wobbly Walrus in the Firefly Funhouse. So, the thing for Roman Reigns, and I like that they're being kind of consistent. Jey Uso is introduced first, and then he gets attacked by Baron and Sheamus, and they just call for the bell during the beatdown. I've seen a lot of, like, before the match attacks, right? Before we actually got everybody out there. Then the ref, like, checks with the person who's been attacked. Says, "You okay? You okay to go? I'm going to call for the bell. You all right? Okay, here we go. I'm calling for the bell." Ding, ding, ding. And they start the match. They didn't do that. They just fucking started the match while he's being beaten down. And Reigns hasn't come out yet. So they beat up Jey Uso for a while, in which is basically now a 2-on-1 handicap match. And eventually, Jay Jay gets control of the match, because Sheamus is gonna go for a bro kick, and Reigns' music hits, but he doesn't actually come down to the ring. He just stands up at the top of the ramp. Sheamus is distracted enough by this that Jay's able to get the upper hand. He tosses Corbin over the announce table. He super kicks him, right? But Romans has slowly walked down the ramp, and Jay goes up to the top rope to hit the Uso splash to win. Roman tags himself in as Jay's on the top rope. So Jay goes for the splash and is going to do make a pinfall, but the ref's like, "No, you're not legal." So Reigns is just gets into the ring, nonchalant, hanging out in the corner, waits for Sheamus to get up, hits the spear, 1-2-3, wins. So his deal is, like, literally, no, I'm just going to show up, I'm going to hit one move, and I'm going to win, and that's it. That's all it's going to be. Which is, I mean, they're leaning into this hard. I don't know where the cutoff point for this is. So far, I'm totally down for the big dog being changed to the big dick. And not like big dick, like wow, with a big swinging dick. Although, you know, that too. But, like, just a big asshole. Like, "You're my cousin. I'm going to leave you to the wolves. If these two guys beat the hell out of you, then I'm going to take credit for the victory." He's an asshole now, which is great. I mean, I've talked about this before. Roman had a fantastic heel persona back in FCW. He was called himself the Thoroughbred. He'd come out to the ring with like women on his arm and this amazing suit, sunglasses, and cut promos about what an awesome dude he was. Like, it worked. This can work too. Reigns goes to the ring. Goes up the ramp. Jay stands next to Roman, and he doesn't raise the title. He raises Reigns' arm, who's carrying the title, so they can celebrate their tag win together. Reigns is a little quizzical, a little perturbed, but nothing happens. He's underplaying it, and I can really appreciate that. And that was SmackDown, and we're now at an hour into this episode. I mean, when SmackDown is just generically bad, then I get to be done in an hour instead of an hour and a half. And it was just generically bad. Like, it has the potential to move on to do some good things. But I don't know. I'm intrigued to see where this whole thing with Firefly Funhouse and Sister Abigail, you know, is Alexa Bliss going to play Sister Abigail, or is she just like a new recruit to the Funhouse family or whatever? I don't know. And I'm still holding out hope that somehow there's like a swerve at Night of Champions? Clash of Champions. Clyde of Champions. No, Nash of Champions. There's a switcheroo at Nash of Champions, and Jay joins forces with Roman, and then Jimmy comes back, and then we get those three guys just running shit as heels. I'd love it. It'd be so good. Anyway, this is the thing. Like, everyone, this is years ago now, but still, up until recently, I was known as a Reigns hater. That was just generic hater. Like, I'm very excited with that. Reigns always felt very generic to me as this babyface who cannot die. And they always made him, even though he was a fucking tank, they always made him into, you know, Wolverine. Like, he would get the shit kicked out of him, but then he would Hulk up and win. And I hate that. And this seems more interesting to me because he seems to have layers, and I'm looking forward to seeing him peeled like an onion. So, speaking of things you can peel, grapes, you know, my t-shirt, Sour Graps, buy it, shop.fightful.com. Thank you for supporting Fightful Select. Really could not do this without you guys. Love you all, and I will see you. Oh, this is apparently the 98th episode of Sour Graps. So this time next week will be the 100th episode of Sour Graps, which I'm going to be calling a Sour Centennial, and I'm going to be doing something a little special for it. I don't know what yet. I'll keep you posted. Follow me at Alex Sour Graps on the Twitter, and I will keep you posted for all the festivities, or lack thereof, because I'm a sour bastard, so there's a good chance I'm not really going to do much of anything because, you know, what does it matter? The world is on fire, right? Oh, everything sucks.